It's Vince Murata. Join us Monday morning. We'll recap what the Suns did in Game 1 in Minnesota and what the Diamondbacks did in San Francisco. Starts at 6, bright and early here on Arizona Sports.
All right, 5 o'clock hour, the Burns and Gambo show here on this Friday, tomorrow, 12:30. Suns Timberwolves, all the pregame coverage, the game action, you'll be able to hear it here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Game 2 is coming up on Tuesday from Minnesota. There is obviously a level of excitement around here to see this team that has been frustrating, maddening, at times extremely entertaining, never quite reaching their potential, but always just right on the cusp of making you think they're so close to doing it. Now we get to find out whether truly, for them, the regular season was just kind of a shrug your shoulders, warm up, and now we're to the postseason where they're going to flip a switch. This is what they've been gearing up for. This is what this team was built for. Now we're going to find out if that narrative can be true, right?
Now, the regular season is different. I mean, it's very different. That's why you see so many great play, like LeBron James in the play-in tournament again. And you look at the great players that are Steph Curry in the play-in tournament, Jimmy Butler in the play-in tournament. And some teams, the younger teams, are probably built more for the 82 games. They don't have as many injuries, you know, they don't have to have as many days off, and it's just different. The regular season is much different than the playoffs, which is why you know people still, like, nobody's picking the Suns in four. Nobody's saying, man, Minnesota can't play with them. Suns are going to win this thing in four games. Nobody's saying that. People think the Minnesota's going to win a couple of games. The playoffs are different. You make a lot of adjustments. Coaches matter more in playoffs than they do in the regular season, so coaching matters here, because I'll never forget with Monty. The Suns won the first two games against Dallas. Looked like it wasn't even competitive. Thought this thing would even come back to Phoenix. Jason Kidd made the adjustments. Dallas won the series. Suns never adjusted to Dallas's adjustments.
Yeah, it was. We all know what this time of year feels like, especially the last couple of years, but this season in particular. And I was borrowing a line from a story in The Ringer today, which we'll get to in a little bit, in which they described the Suns as a, quote, frustrating, dangerous, outrageously talented, and immensely disappointing basketball team. And it's like, yeah, you can get an amen on that one if you're The Ringer, because that kind of sums it all up. We're also in that time of year where nationally, well, I know what the story is locally. The story locally is this team that kind of feels like it's underachieved during the regular season, that has this unbelievable talent. Will they bring home the first championship in the history of the Suns? Nationally, it turns more into another referendum on Kevin Durant and what he can do with his legacy. Here's Stephen A. Smith talking about it today.
It's been a long, long time since Kevin Durant has been in the conference finals. And I'm telling you right now, you can't be in this situation and go out there and lose in the first round. If that happens, that is not good. There's no question about it. And we talk, it's not an accident that as great as he is, as marvelous of a player as he is, we don't talk about him nearly as much as we should. And we damn sure don't talk about him nearly as much as we used to, because the results haven't been there.
Guy's got two championships, man. But the results not there for Karl Malone, for Charles Barkley, for Ewing, for John Stockton, for Chris Paul. Like, it's, again, the knock that he gets for having won two championships with Golden State, you may not like it. And I think that's the problem. I think
the era
of media members almost would rather you be Dominique Wilkins. Dominique Wilkins spent almost his entire career with the Hawks, tried to win, never did, never won. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to stay here and I'm going to try to win it for as long. Now guys switch teams a lot more. They switch teams. I mean, yes, Malone at the end, didn't he go play with the Lakers for a year at the end, Karl Malone? But most of the time, guys stayed with their teams for as long as possible. Ewing tried forever with the Knicks to win before he finally went to, like, Orlando and Seattle at the end when he wasn't any good anymore. But guys usually go through their entire prime in the past staying with one organization and trying to win. And now guys, if they see the writing on the wall and they don't think the team's going to be any good, sure, they get out of Dodge. They go somewhere else. So you get knocked for that. You know, even if you go somewhere and win, you should have stayed with Oklahoma City and tried to win a championship with them. If he had stayed with Oklahoma City, won one championship and never won another one, they would value him so much more than what he did by going to win two in Golden State.
Yeah, it's a tired, you're right. You're not wrong about anything that you just said. It's become kind of this tired, cliched sort of narrative. And honestly, I thought the example you brought up earlier in the show, I really enjoyed because nobody talks about Kawhi Leonard like this. Nobody.
No, what was the last time he's been to the finals?
There's never any kind. He has won two titles, just like Kevin Durant has.
Two titles.
And he's done it with different teams. So he's hopped around too, right? Like nobody talks about Kawhi Leonard as if he's damaged goods or he's got something to prove or he's got a legacy to change or a narrative to alter. It doesn't come up. And it is. It's a prejudice against KD. Because of the fact that he did it with Golden State, and he was kind of seen like he was jumping on the bandwagon at the last minute to get his rings to make sure he had them. And it's just, it's funny to me that the national media keep going back to this well again and again and again. Because for me, as a Forever Suns fan, tomorrow isn't about that. These next couple of months, it's not about Kevin Durant. It's not about his narrative and what it means and his legacy and can he be the guy who gives the Suns a championship. And there are 10 teams in the NBA who haven't won a title. The Phoenix Suns are one of them. That's got to change. You know, I don't know if it's going to change this year. I don't care about the other stuff. I just care about that, Gambo. Yeah. You know, I really do.
And again, there is a local perspective and a national perspective.
Yes.
And the local perspective is, man, KD's a great player and you love him and you hope that he can, you know,
Should we care about the national perspective?
Should we
be bothered that Stephen A. or Kendrick Perkins or whoever else always likes to play this narrative card about, okay.
And yeah. I don't think Kevin Durant will be either. Again, your legacy is what it is. People will define it differently. I look at Barry Bonds' career differently than the people in San Francisco. They love him. They adore him. They do. He was great for San Francisco. Nationally and outside of San Francisco, he was a cheater and a bum. And we don't recognize him as the all-time home run king. You know, it's Hank Aaron. Those are the things that it's different. Your legacy is defined differently by different people and different eras.
Yeah. Jamal Crawford did a conference call with the media previewing the playoffs. He's an NBA analyst for TNT. And he was asked about Kevin Durant. And he said, quote, "You'll look at him in a totally different light than maybe anybody, because he gets so much crap for the two championships he won in Golden State, even though he was finals MVP for both of those championships. That's just the narrative out there. But if he wins a championship in Phoenix, and obviously being the top dog there if they won it, I think he would change his legacy more than anybody else winning a championship." Now, that, from the national perspective that I've already said I really don't care that much about, that I would agree with. If he wins one with the Phoenix Suns,
yeah,
then suddenly it's not about the jump on the bandwagon, go win a couple with Golden State so I can say I won a ring. Now it's I led this team to a franchise and they never won a championship. He almost becomes Curt Schilling with the bloody sock in the Boston Red Sox, right?
The problem is guys move around so much that you're on all these different teams. Mitch, are you an Avalanche fan? Yeah. Do you remember when Ray Bourque came to play for the Avalanche?
Just to get the cup and get out.
Get the cup. He was done. He played his whole career with the Bruins. Whole career. Couldn't win one. But nobody really faults him because it was the end of his career and it was just one team that he went to and he won a cup and, oh, good for him. He finally won it. Good for him. Nobody knocked him. Nope. Why didn't you stay in Boston and try to win it? He did. He tried forever to win it. But these guys get knocked because they get out so early. How old was Kevin Durant when he left Oklahoma City? He was young. I don't want to be here anymore. I'll go somewhere else. And that's why you get the
sometimes
knock.
I really enjoy Stephen A. Smith. I really do. But on this issue, I will just choose to. It doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't. If that's the national narrative on Kevin Durant, fine. I just want him to beat the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Right, that's it.
Really, but fine. Talk all you want about Kevin Durant and his legacy and his need to get out of the first round. I just want them to beat the Timberwolves. And yeah, you know how I feel on that
one. What the hell does that mean?
Sorry, Stephen A. If we ever get Stephen A. back on the show, we'll mention that to him. Legendary comedian Kevin Hart. He's heading to Arizona Financial Theater on October 11th. Head to the contest page now at arizonasports.com for your chance to win. Today's press conference shed a lot of light on the Coyotes' decision to leave. Not all of it was good, but for us, one thing kind of stood out above the rest, and we'll tell you what that is next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Social Poll Update.
Presented by Sanderson Ford.
All right, right, we don't normally update the social media poll question here at 5:15, but it does relate directly to the Coyotes conversation we're about to have. So, Mitch, take it away.
Take it away.
Give it away now. Yeah, that's all right.
Exposed. Not a Chili Peppers fan.
You are not a Red Hot Chili Peppers fan. So we learned today,
yes,
during the press conference, that the television network that's been broadcasting Coyotes games this year will continue to do so, even though the team is in Salt Lake City.
Yes.
Right? So to give Coyote fans here an opportunity to watch
the team. Give them something to watch, you know, as a reminder of what you used to have.
This is the team that you loved. And if you want to still watch them, you can. The story I'm looking at on social media, or the story I'm looking at on AZ Central, quoted a guy on social media as saying, "Don't take my dog and send me pictures," close quote.
It's such a great analogy.
It really is. It really is. That was from at Coyote Matt 265. Bravo, Matthew. Bravo. What's our poll question?
So the question plays off of that. Here's how I phrased it on our X page.
Okay.
The new Utah hockey team, formerly Arizona Coyotes, will have their games broadcast via the same channel as this past season in Arizona. Will you watch?
I have no idea. I have the poll up, but I didn't vote on it, so I can't see the results. I'm going to say 65% say no, 35% say yes. That's okay. My guess.
Burns, I'm going to say 82% say no, 18% say yes.
You're both incorrect.
Okay.
Both suck. Closest, without going over, technically speaking, is Gambo. 77% are not going to be watching Utah hockey next year.
Split the uprights on that one, didn't we? Between his guess and my guess, it was kind of
77% say they will not watch anymore.
Specifically this team on that in this setup that we've presented.
I think most fans will like stop following most of it. I mean, I think that they will. And now, like, if you bring an Arizona team back, how cool would it be to have Arizona against Utah in the first game? Like, the first game. If I'm Gary Bettman, the first game I have the new Arizona Coyotes play, it'll be against Utah.
Are they going to have to restructure the conferences and the divisions as a result of those?
Well, they're going to add one team in the East and one team in the West. Atlanta will probably get an expansion team for the third time.
Yeah.
For the third time's the charm.
For the third time, yeah. Let's try it again. Why not?
Let's thrash another time.
I take the team that's nearest and dearest to my heart, and no disrespect to the other teams, but, you know, I think everybody knows I kind of put the Suns at another level because I was born and raised here. If the Suns packed up and moved to another market, no way. I just couldn't do it. It'd be too painful on a nightly basis to watch them. So, no, Diamondbacks, same thing. Cardinals, same thing. I couldn't watch them and say that's my team.
Did St. Louis fans root for the Cardinals when they came here?
I don't know either.
Or the Rams when they went to L.A.
Yeah, or the Raiders when they went from... Who knows? All right, that's the poll question. You can find it on X at Burns and Gambo, the artist formerly known as Twitter. Today, dueling press conferences, basically. We had one here in the morning. Then there's one going on in Salt Lake City that is probably wrapped up by now. Gary Bettman hopping all over the Western United States. He was here this morning and then in Salt Lake City. And the one, at least for me, and I don't want to speak for you, Gambo, the one clear takeaway for me is that through all the noise and all of the distrust of Alex Morello and the lack of faith in him getting it done, there is no question that hockey fans in Arizona have somebody very powerful on their side. And that man is Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL.
Days like today are difficult, they're sad, and I sympathize with and understand and feel sorry about what the fans of the Coyotes are going through, and there probably is every conceivable emotion, and I respect that. And I feel badly about that.
Because if there's one guy who wants to make sure that hockey works, it's him, and it's always been him.
There's one problem. He's about to be 72 years old. What's going to happen in 5 years with a new commissioner? I mean, a new commissioner comes in. Is he automatically going to want to do everything Gary Bettman did?
I'll play along. I don't know if this is just about Gary Bettman. I think it's about the league being smart enough to know that a media market the size of Phoenix with 6 million people in it needs to have an NHL
team. But the guy that's out in front in this,
I know.
A new guy may not be He might not feel the same way Gary Bettman does. In 5 years, they're probably, he'd be 77 years old in 5 years. It's probably going to be a new commissioner.
The league feels that way about this market and not just Gary Bettman. We're a big city. We're a lot of eyeballs. We're a lot of people. It would be in their best interest, no matter who the commissioner of the NHL is, to have a team. I understand your point. I really do. And it's been very much Gary Bettman leading the charge. And one day it won't be him. I would assume the league would still want to continue with that because we're just too big to ignore.
Now, I also think that you've got, so what I'm looking at is what happens if he doesn't get it done. He's got a contractual right to reactivate the franchise and start an expansion draft. That's his contractual right. So new commissioner or not, you can't change that. My feeling is what happens if he can't get the arena built? Okay, doesn't win the land bid, or City of Phoenix says, I'm not giving you I'm not creating this district for you to tax the people that are going to come into. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to compete against the Suns arena or anything else in downtown. What if that happens? Because look, we all know that he needs the city to help. It's not just I'm going to build an arena and I don't need anybody's help. I need the city to help. If that doesn't happen in 5 years, his right goes away. Is a new commissioner going to want to put an expansion team here?
As long as there's strong ownership and a new arena, I would guess the answer is yes. I don't know for sure, but I would guess the answer is yes. But it would have to be somebody different who would own it. And certainly they'd have to have an arena for them to play in. And none of this nonsense that we've been doing for the last 15 years. I thought the most revealing quote today, and Lauren and I went through the presser and we plucked this out. There, somebody, I can't remember who, was pressing on the City of Phoenix issue. And saying, hey, it's a theme park tax, and what if they don't want to play ball, and what if they don't want to do it, and what if you run into a roadblock, or what if there's a lawsuit, you know, because somebody doesn't like it and it gets held up. Here's what Gary Bettman said about that.
If there's outright hostility to another arena, and there are forces at bay that are going to do everything to prevent it, that'll be a problem. But I don't doubt Alex's commitment to try and deal with all of those head on.
But does Alex have the ability to overcome those things? His commitment, sure, but his ability to actually win it in the face of those things? And that's why, you know, we were doing this interview with Morello yesterday. That's why I really wanted to know, hey, if you get an indication after a year or a year and a half that this isn't going to happen, that the City of Phoenix is not going to play ball with you, it would be in the best interest of everybody for him to renounce his rights for the reactivation. You know what? It's not happening for me. I'm not going to get it. I'll just take my $1 billion and go home. Let somebody else try to win this battle, right? Because why waste those 5 years on something that you know is not going to happen when you could open the door for maybe somebody else to try to make hockey work here? Only if you know it. You know what I'm saying? Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's,
yeah.
Now I asked him that question because I'm going to use, Morello said to us yesterday, I'm going to use the full 5 years. I'm going to use every year I've got to make this happen. We'll see. We'll see if the City of Phoenix plays ball. I don't think they're going to. I don't know that for a fact. I don't think they're going
to. I know that it is a non-starter for the Diamondbacks to have a theater district because they don't want to put that added burden of a tax on the people that are coming to support their team.
Let's explain this in simple terms.
Okay.
What the Coyotes are hoping to achieve is basically, you go to an event at that facility.
Yeah.
You're paying extra, and that money is going back to help pay for the facility that has been built.
Yeah.
Right?
In some way, infrastructure or for something. Yes.
For something. Yeah.
The Diamondbacks, for them, that's a non-starter. They don't want a theme park district, because they kind of feel like it's something that you're sticking additional taxes on your fans, and they are very against that. The Diamondbacks are very against this, you know, theme park district that would, you know, you're coming to support the Diamondbacks and blah blah blah, I'm going to charge you extra money to do it. They don't want to do that.
Text us your thoughts on the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back, we've talked about the stars in this series starting tomorrow. Who are the X factors? Who are the role players who could make the difference in a series against the Timberwolves? We'll talk about that coming up right here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
It's Suns Timberwolves in the first round of the Western Conference playoffs. Game one this Saturday from Minneapolis. Pre-game at 11:30, 12:30 tip. Listen to every Suns playoff game on Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app.
Game one tomorrow, game two on Tuesday. That one's going to be a little bit of an earlier start, so we'll have a shorter show, but we'll have that for you here on Arizona Sports, the Suns and the Timberwolves. And of course, we've talked about this series all week long. We've been able to set it up all week long. Right now, by the way, I should point out, Miami is beating Chicago 55-44 in the play-in game.
But no Jimmy Butler.
No Jimmy Butler. I don't think Alex Caruso's playing either. But Coby White's playing.
Alex Caruso is playing.
Oh, is Caruso playing? Okay, so he's playing through the... Was it an ankle? Was it a foot ankle? Okay. So he's playing. Thank you, Lauren. I appreciate it. Look at Lauren, the Chicago fan, just chiming right in. Of course Lauren would know.
You don't see him out there guarding Tyler Hero right now? Come on.
I mean, honestly, is there anybody in the NBA that gives any that cares about this game?
All it is first-round fodder for the Celtics. Though I do think Bill Simmons is a little nervous about the Heat playing the Celtics, but he can't be now. Not with Jimmy Butler gone. Can't be. Yeah, the winner of this game gets Boston in a best of seven, and Boston's probably going to run roughshod over whoever wins this game.
Like,
no.
Instead of worrying about KD, like, shouldn't be people like, oh, if KD doesn't get out of, like, what about Boston? Tatum and Brown, like, if they go another year without winning a championship.
It's a great story.
I mean, isn't that more? Isn't that the biggest story in the NBA right now?
That should be a bigger story, yeah.
They have to win it this year. It's set up for them to win.
Yes.
Yeah, they should cruise through the East.
1,000%. What was that ringer odds story we talked about earlier in the week? Boston has like a 65% chance of winning the title. The next closest 21. Team is like 13%. I mean, come on. You know, yes, that's a huge story because those are two talented of players. Plus, with the addition of Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis, man, if you don't win it now, you kind of got to wonder if you're going to with that core. That's 10 times
that's
the story that Kevin Durant is. Yeah, no doubt.
Because we're like, okay, it's not working. Do you break that tandem up?
And to be fair to Stephen A. Smith and the NBA crew on ESPN, maybe they discussed that today on their show and we only plucked the sound about Kevin Durant. They might have talked about that. Right. I don't know. I want to be fair about that. The X factors in this series, our friends over at Bright Side of the Sun, in a series like this, you've said it many times, and I don't disagree. Your stars have to play well for you to be able to win.
Your best players have to play well for you to win.
But you also have to get valuable contributions from your role players, too, right? You can't, you know, and they point out in the article, Torrey Craig last year shot 14% from three against the Denver Nuggets.
Terrible.
That didn't help.
No, their role players last year were terrible.
Mikal Bridges against the Mavericks a couple of years ago vanished in that series. That didn't help. The two that they've identified, and I think rightly so, are Yusef Nurkic and Grayson Allen as two guys, two X factors, who have a chance to play real strong complementary roles. I think Nurk is a little bit bigger than Grayson Allen, only because I think if he gets in foul trouble, that is really problematic for the Suns. Because then it forces Frank to either go with Drew Eubanks.
Go small with KD at the five.
Which you could argue maybe he should go small. I think he should go small over playing Drew Eubanks in those moments. But then he'll have to be faced with that choice. What do I do here? I think Nurk is the bigger X factor than Grayson. But I think Grayson's an X factor too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with that. I mean, Nurkic, because if he gets hurt or he's in foul trouble or he's missing his free throws, I mean, that's going to hurt them. He's been a really good defensive player this year when everybody knocked that part of his game. Like, he's done a good job protecting the rim. He's been a really good rebounder. He stayed healthy, which nobody thought was going to happen. If I would have told everybody at the time that Nurkic was going to have this type of season, everybody would have not been on board for making that trade. It's 100 times better than anybody thought. People looked at him and they said, he's not a good defensive player. I'm like, but he actually kind of is. Like, he's been a decent defense, a good defensive player. Not great, but good. Does a good job rebounding. And it's a strength. I mean, that's a part of a defensive game is rebounding the basketball. He's a good rebounder.
The two things I was concerned about when he came here. Number one was just availability. And he's answered that bell. He's led the team in games played this year with 76. The second thing was that there was kind of this knock on him out of Portland that sometimes he's a little disengaged. Sometimes he's not fully present with what's going on the floor and playing with kind of everything he's got. That has not been the problem with Yusef Nurkic this year at all. He has been, now sometimes his passes are kind of sloppy. I think he thinks he can make every pass on the floor and he can't, but he tries anyway. His ability to finish around the rim is not very good. He misses way too many bunnies, and that's something we came to expect. But the dude plays hard, and that was
one of the knocks on him was that he doesn't play hard all the time. He plays hard. At least he has played hard all the time for the Suns, and he's been very available. It's been a, that deal has been a home run for the Suns organization that they moved Ayton for those two players. He does, however, and they point this out in the article, no player in the NBA has committed more fouls than Yusuf Nurkic. And that's, that becomes problematic for the series for all the reasons that I just talked about, hopefully. And we even just saw it this past Sunday when the Suns played the Timberwolves. Nurk picked up his fourth foul early in the third quarter. That was the quarter where Gobert, it was just like, and one, and one, and one.
They kept throwing it to lobs him. Up to him.
And they kept fouling him, and he just kept making shots, and you can't have a repeat of that. So hopefully he stays on the floor as much as he can.
Look, I would expect next year that the Suns go out and try to upgrade the backup center position as one of their priorities. I kind of like Drew Eubanks. There's a lot of people that don't. I don't get it. He plays with a lot. He hustles. He plays hard.
He's just so limited offensively. There's not that much he can do out there offensively.
I like his role. I do. I like his role. But I'm expecting that they try to upgrade the backup center spot.
I don't even think it's that people don't like. Well, maybe it is.
They
that people
don't like
Drew Eubanks. I'll give you that. I don't prefer him either because I think he's, like I said, so limited offensively. I think it's also that people want to see the small ball. And Frank has been teasing us with the small ball, giving us little bits here and little bits there. I was looking at some numbers today, like really advanced, like metric numbers.
Look at me
bragging. Look at me. I was doing my homework for the show today.
What did you do today? I was looking at advanced
numbers. I was looking at some advanced
all that homework for the Gambo show? And really?
I know, right? Like, I'm not even, this isn't even my show. What am I doing?
I appreciate your support to the Gambo show. I do.
The numbers when the Suns go small, it's impressive. Now, defensively, there might be a little bit of a liability, especially against a big team like Minnesota.
You're talking offensive numbers?
But the offensive numbers that they put up when they don't have a true center on the floor, oh my, it's just like, and that was, I'm kind of going into a different story here, but The Ringer did a story today with like their 13 biggest questions going into the playoffs. One of the questions was specifically about the Suns. How often will they do small ball in the playoffs? Because it's, I think that's where I got the numbers from. It's lethal. When they do the small ball thing, it's lethal. And I think that's some of the Drew Eubanks hate comes from just wanting to see a centerless lineup out there for a little bit.
Okay, three teams. Minnesota has the center. Denver has the center. Oklahoma City doesn't really have a center. So there's three teams that all play a little bit differently. Minnesota's got a defensive-oriented center. Denver's got an offensive-oriented center. And Minnesota's got a center that weighs about what Lauren weighs.
She's working on something on the computer. Yeah. I don't think she heard you, but I thought that was very funny.
Never supposed to ask a girl her weight, but
don't start now.
I'm just saying that Oklahoma City has a center that weighs about what you do.
Oh, man, I swear. If Lauren
104, 105,
if Lauren
Gambo,
110
Gambo,
pounds,
easy. If, Gambo, easy.
If Lauren had superpowers, if she had superpowers. Yeah. And could shoot laser beams out of her eyes, you'd be a melted hunk of flesh right now. She would just burn you down to the ground with her eyes.
You got my point, though, right? They're set of skinny little nothing.
As awkwardly as you made it and as inappropriately as you made it, yes.
Inappropriate. Stop trying to get me in trouble.
I got your point. I'm not getting you in trouble.
Yeah, because you want it to be the Dave Byrne show.
No.
Yeah, that's what he wants.
No, not at all. Yeah. Alex Morello wants it to be the Gambo show. I know that. Quote, I think I misspoke when I went on the Gambo show and I said they were coming. That's not correct. He was talking about the Tucson Roadrunners. I think I misspoke when I went on the Gambo show.
It's like when Mitch calls for guests. He goes, you want to come on with Gambo? I'm like, okay. And then the day off, he goes, there's another guy on the show, too. Just if you hear a voice, his name's Dave. Give me an iced tea.
Now I'm going to go get you an iced tea.
I didn't think it was a specific suck. I thought it was like an all-encompassing type of suck.
Are we done
this
yet?
One too. No, I really don't like any of the listeners. I did not. Okay. Now you guys really want me out now.
Yes, we do. Like, making inappropriate comments to Lauren and you're dissing our listeners? Yes, it's going to be the Dave Byrne show before you know it. Gambo loves our listeners.
Before you know it, it's going to be the Dave Burns Show, and Alex Morello is going to rue the day he ever called it the Gambo Show. You just watch.
I'll just go tend to my olive trees.
When we come back, first of all, let me remind you about the NFL draft coming up. You can enter to win an exclusive NFL draft experience. Text the word draft to 62620. Enter for the chance to win a reserved table and $200 in food and beverage credit at Flanker's Kitchen and Sports Bar. That's inside the BetMGM Sportsbook. That's where we're going to be next week. You'll have a front row seat for our live broadcast as we await the Cardinals' first pick in the draft. Text the word draft to 620-620 right now, and we look forward to seeing you there. Speaking of the draft, does it start at 5 overall? Who would make such a suggestion? Next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
D-backs at Giants. Pre-game coverage starts tonight at 6:30 on Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app.
And because of that, we're actually going a little long today. We're going to take you up until 6:30 for pre-game coverage of D-backs and Giants tonight. The debut of Jordan Montgomery getting the first start for the D-backs today. Good. Can he play shortstop?
Oh, center field?
Can he get a hit in the seventh inning or later? Because, you know, can he pitch the ninth or the eighth inning too? You know?
I don't think you're going to get any of those things.
I think you're right. I think I'm asking too much.
Five innings, and
I know.
Hopefully,
I know. I'm being snarky. The Diamondbacks 9-11 on the season. Some issues. We'll talk about that during Diamondbacks on Deck. But there have been last night another error, another base running blunder. Out, another, you know, and it's too bad that Logan Adams gave him a nice outing in relief.
Pitched really well.
When Ryan Nelson got plunked by that ball and had to leave the game after the second inning, Logan did really, really well, but the Diamondbacks offense was just missing in action. All right, I'm glad we're swinging back around and talking about this because this was interesting. I don't know if it, well, I think it does mean something. This is Joe Horitz. He's the new general manager of the Los Angeles Chargers. He did his press conference yesterday, same as Monty Ossenfort, the pre-draft press conference answering questions about it. Listen to the confidence he has that at number 5, the pick right after the Cardinals, that the draft starts at 5 with the LA Chargers. Listen to what he had to say.
We believe we have the first pick of the draft. I know there's going to be 4 picks that go before us, but we believe that, you know. And the 4 quarterbacks go, we believe strongly that we have the first pick of the draft. So what are teams willing to give us? Now, obviously, we know it's the 5th pick, and people are going to be trading on that, you know, scope. But, it's got to be a good value for us. And does it have to be blown away? What is blown away? You know, I don't know the answer to that.
He's making it seem like Arizona's trading that pick, and somebody's going to come and get a quarterback at 4.
Yep.
And you know, you try to piece this all together, and when you hear somebody like that, like, does he know something? Does he know something? Like, I don't think that the Cardinals have agreed to any trade. I would not expect that they're even letting people know what the price is until you get within 24 hours of the draft. You know, you're not going to do that. You're not going to allow these other teams to talk to other teams and try to, you know, you're trying to get them as much as you can. You don't want to give them time. So, you know, that's why you don't set a price now. You don't set a price today. You set a price on within 24 hours of the draft, so there's not a lot of time for everybody else to kind of figure it out. Like, if you want it, you got to come up and get it. Here's what it is.
Yeah.
But you don't want to talk to a team and say, well, we'll take this and this and, you know, but these other teams, and then you talk to another team. No, we didn't talk to the Cardinals. We're not offering them that. You know?
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
You got to give me that because Team A, they offered me this, this, and this. Then that team goes and they call Team A, and you're going to give the Cardinals. No, man, I'm not giving the Cardinals. We have not interest in that.
I don't think. I mean, I don't know. I've never met Joe Horitz. I couldn't tell you exactly what he's thinking, but I would suspect that he doesn't know that something's going to happen. But I would suspect that having been in the business long enough, he knows that there is somebody who is going to offer Monty Ossenfort something that he just can't say no to. And honestly, that's why I made the bet with Mitch. Mitch and I have a bet where he thinks the Cardinals are going to stay put at 4 and take Marvin Harrison Jr. I think the Cardinals are going to trade out. And the only reason I made that bet, and I mean the only reason, is my belief that somebody is going to call up and offer Monty something, and it's going to be the Godfather deal. It's he's not going to be able to say no to it. It's right. just going to be too much. And as long as certain conditions are met, and we've talked about this yesterday, and we'll talk about it again today. Sure. Certain conditions are met, like, okay, if we fall back, make sure we have enough inventory to get back up if we want to and still be a net positive, right? That's something you've talked about the last couple of days.
100%, yes. They are not going to make a trade unless it allows them to come back up, unless it allows them to move back up in the draft, but still make them a net positive in what they get. So that's what would have to happen.
And then something else, too, to add on to that. Like last year. And then something else to add on to that, too, is if you do trade back, you have to be prepared to stay back. You have to be prepared to not be able to make a deal to move back up, and you have to be comfortable, right?
Yeah, a lot of people are quick to say, just do what Arizona did. Let Arizona can do it again. But you got to find a dance partner. Other teams have guys that they want too. So, you know, last year the stars aligned. There's no guarantee you could do it. But anytime you do a deal, you have to look at the worst case scenario, which is you got to be prepared to sit where you are because you might not be able to move back up. So, you know, if you're at a point, you're not getting concrete offers, you might have to you have to prepare for that. You've got to say, what's the worst case scenario? We're going to trade down. We're going to try to trade back up, but we're not going to be able to. And so you've got to be prepared for that scenario that you'll trade down and you'll be stuck there and you'll have to take a player there.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to this real quick because we talked about it earlier in the show too. And that is this Bill Barnwell did this all-trade mock draft. So instead of projecting a player to a team, he projected a trade for each team and where they picked. For the Arizona Cardinals, and I the only risk here is that one of the top three wide receivers isn't there at number eight, but the Arizona Cardinals would basically work two deals where they would trade down with the Vikings. The Vikings would get the fourth pick in the draft and a fourth rounder. The Cardinals would get 11, 23, and a first rounder next year for Minnesota. The Cardinals would then send 11 and a third rounder to Atlanta to move back up to eight.
One of the four teams I've identified as places where they would be willing to move back up to.
And where they think that maybe there'd be windows for them to move up to. The Chargers at five are one. The Titans are seven are another.
Atlanta.
The Atlanta at eight, the Bears at nine.
Right. Those four teams I would expect are teams that they could target to move back up.
This deal would allow the Cardinals to drop from four to eight, still pick up an extra first rounder this year in number 23, still keep their other extra first rounder this year at number 27.
And you roll that dice.
And have an extra first rounder next year.
That's a lot. I would take that.
I mean, it's like.
And you still may get a top three wide receiver. At eight,
you might.
You might. Because the only way,
for sure.
The only way you don't get one is if quarterback, and I've never, this is unheard of, but quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4, wide receivers go 5, 6, 7, and then you don't get it. But then your pick is the left tackle out of Notre Dame, Joe Walt. That would be the pick.
Or Dallas Turner?
I think it would be Joe Walt over Dallas Turner.
Okay.
But one of the two.
Okay.
I would probably take a lean towards a left tackle or a right tackle, whatever they want to go with him. But I would think that the Notre Dame tackle gets the edge there. I think Dallas Turner would be in play. But I think that you could still, I would say you roll the dice and you would still get a wide receiver at eight.
I want to be very clear about this. Barnwell is not reporting this as what he's hearing. He's merely speculating on how this might work and what a deal might look like. But I'm trying to imagine a Cardinals fan who's like pissed about this. You know, who goes, oh, man, I really wanted Marvin Harrison Jr. I really wanted Rome Odunze. Like, seriously, you got the 8th pick, the 23rd pick, the 27th pick, a first next year. You got three first-rounders this year. You're going to have two next year.
Like, and you're going to get either the best offensive lineman, best pass rusher, or third-best wide receiver in the draft.
And I think that's what Joe Horowitz is talking about. Like, somebody's going to offer Monty a deal, not this, but like this, that he's just not going to be able to say no to.
I wouldn't say no to that.
That's too much.
To be at eight?
That is what Monty Austinfort was talking about yesterday when somebody comes, knocks on his door, and offers to buy his house for way more than it's worth.
My analogy.
We're out of here. Mm-hmm. Shannon, we're leaving. Pack up the house. We're going. So
I told Chelsea the same thing. Somebody makes me an offer that I can't refuse. You can have the house.
All right, bonus Burns and Gambo coming up. And when we come back here on the Burns and Gambo show, is this series going to serve as a coming out party of sorts for a member of the Minnesota Timberwolves? Is he in line to have a big, big series? That could be a problem for the Suns. We'll tell you about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Burns and Gambo, what's on tonight?
All right, what's on tonight? The games that we're going to watch this evening, and they are brought to you by Global Credit Union. 12 branches here to serve you. Become a member today by going to globalcu.org. Gambo, tonight on the TV, you got Diamondbacks and Giants, 7:15 first pitch.
Monty!
That's why we're still on the air.
Montgomery.
We're taking until 6:30. Yes, the debut of Jordan Montgomery tonight after a couple of rehab starts.
It's good. It's good.
Contractually, he had it built in that today was the day he had to be on the roster and make his start. Of course, the man who negotiated that contractual rights no longer his agent.
He fired him.
Scott Boras.
I'm going to get 4 years and $100 million? No, one-year deal. You're fired.
One-year deal and you'll like it. Mm. And he's fired. That's on tonight. The NBA play-in games tonight, of which I've been informed that
This one's over.
There are multiple people who care about this game, despite the fact that you and I both think nobody does.
Multiple people?
Well,
okay.
Two of them are in the room.
All one of them.
Lauren, because she's a Bulls fan, and Jeremy, because he's a Miami Heat fan.
The right to get slaughtered by the Celtics. Okay.
89-65, the Heat are beating the Bulls right now with about 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. So, yes, this one is
89? I got 86 on the TV.
That's a little,
this guy's going to hit a three right now,
Rog. It's a little delayed, yeah.
Okay.
Somebody.
Kobe White, it's going to be a three-pointer.
No, Kobe, this is going to be a three-pointer.
Oh, by Chicago.
By Miami,
right?
By Miami, because they have the... Yeah, why is the...
Imagine if you could bet like that. Like, you beat home, like, I'll bet you that Miami hits a three right here. Boom, there you go. Show me 50 bucks. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? Because the TV's always a little bit behind. Imagine if you actually were able to, like, bet somebody, like, what's going to happen. What's, like, what do you see on the score right now? What do you see? What do you got on yours?
Right now, 89. I still have 89-65.
Okay, they're going to miss this shot. I guarantee you they're going to miss this next shot. No way they score a basket here. You just bet it, because you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Wasn't that what Jontay Porter was doing? No. Man. We had such a busy week, we didn't even get to talk about that.
That guy's an idiot. Just an absolute idiot.
He was betting on his team to lose. To lose.
And he was betting on, like, himself. Like, I'm not going to hit two, three. And, like, listen, nobody even knows who you are. You don't think that's going to tip everybody off that all of a sudden there's all this big money on whether Jontay Porter goes over or under 2.5 three-pointers in the game?
Yeah, his career.
Like, nobody even knew you're in. Your brother didn't know you're in the NBA.
His career is absolutely
done.
Yeah, well, it is. It's according to the NBA's investigation, he bet on the Raptors to lose. Three of the bets were multi-game parlay bets that include one Raptors game in which Porter bet that the Raptors would lose. So, yeah, he's done.
That's criminal, too, isn't it?
You know what? I would think it would be, but I don't know the answer to that question for sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Anyway, this is what happens with bonus burns and gambles. Sometimes we kind of veer off into these directions. Since we were talking about what's on tonight, the other play-in game begins in about a half hour. The Kings taking on the Pelicans tonight. The winner with the right to take on Oklahoma City in the first round.
All right.
You got a rooting interest in that game? You rooting for anybody in particular?
You know what?
You always need someone to root for. You rooting for somebody?
I do. I'm going to root for Sacramento.
Okay.
I'm going to root for the Kings.
Any particular reason why? No?
Alvin Gentry's there.
Okay.
And, the interim coach that was here, dude, did a great job.
Which one?
For the Suns. The Suns, he was their interim head coach.
Triano.
Jay Triano. And isn't Leandro Barbosa there?
In Sacramento?
Where's Barbosa?
I have no idea.
Or is he in Golden State? Look that up. Leandro Barbosa
is he in
somewhere.
Sacramento?
I thought he was in Sacramento.
He's a coach there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
King, all right.
Assistant coach with the Kings. You got Barbosa. You got Triano. You got Alvin Gentry. It's Phoenix Suns, like, right. West right there. I'm pulling for Sacramento.
It'd be crazy to think that the New Orleans Pelicans less than a week ago were the sixth seed in the NBA's Western Conference.
Yeah, they blew it.
And tonight they could be out. Tonight, their season could be done. That's nuts. Nuts. That on Sunday morning, you woke up and you were the sixth seed, and on Friday, your season is done.
When they took the Suns to six games, and busted their ass the entire time. Remember how hard that series was?
Yes, I do.
Did anybody not think that that was a young up-and-coming team on the rise that might take over the NBA in a couple of years?
Everybody did.
CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, Zion, Herb Jones, Alvarado, Murphy. Like, oh my God, they're going to be so good.
Yep.
Hasn't happened.
Nope.
Hasn't happened. Minnesota passed them by. Oklahoma City passed them by. Hasn't happened. But when they won two games against the Suns that year and made life miserable for Phoenix, Phoenix won, but they made it hard. We all looked at that New Orleans, a couple of years, they're going to be a team to be reckoned with. Haven't been.
Oklahoma City is the team that passed them on that superhighway. Because now Oklahoma City, not only do they have incredible young talent, they've got all of these extra draft picks and all of these extra assets that if they want to make trades in the offseason to really bolster their roster, they can, man.
That's what scares you about the timeline for Phoenix.
Yeah, it's got kind of a now or never feel to it,
like,
right?
Okay, because they could make some moves to make themselves a lot better and dominate the West, and then you're in trouble. Because a year from now, KD's a year older, Nurkic, and then you may not have the same good fortune of health this year that next year that you kind of had this year.
Yeah. Zach Lowe today on ESPN continues to beat the drum that this Suns Timberwolves matchup is a really, really bad matchup for Minnesota. I'll let him explain.
This is a really, really tough matchup for Minnesota. I think a worst case scenario first round matchup based on what was coming into play on the last day of the regular season. It's gut check time for the Wolves after their best season since Kevin Garnett was there.
John Hollinger is one of the lead NBA writers over at TheAthletic.com, former front office executive for the Memphis Grizzlies. He does his playoff predictions every single year. And he all the way through the finals, in which I think he had the Celtics beating the Nuggets in seven, he had the Suns winning the series in six and basically kind of said the same thing. It's just, it's right now, this is more about the Suns. This is more about the way they're playing. It looks like they kind of figured their stuff out, even though it took them most of the season to do it. And then for the Timberwolves, this is mostly a bad matchup because Minnesota's defense is predicated on the whole idea that we're going to go into this drop coverage and you're just not going to be able to get to the rim. And the Suns don't care about that.
No.
The Suns are like,
they don't want to go there.
Fine, 17-foot mid-range jump shot. I got two of the best in the NBA at it. Right. Fine, we're not going to go to the rim. Big whoop, right?
We don't go there. We don't go there.
You're fine. We're right here.
We're good. Every once in a while, but we like this. We like it here.
Bright Side of the Sun had this crazy stat that KD and Book combined have made more mid-range jumpers this year than 26 teams in the NBA. That's nuts.
That is crazy.
It's nuts.
Two guys alone. And that's what they were with Chris Paul. Chris Paul, like, they became great in the mid. Now, Minnesota's chances in this series are very much on the Suns are not always going to make a high percentage of their shots.
Indeed.
There are games in which they don't shoot the ball well, and that's the games that they'll probably lose.
Yeah.
Because that's what, you know, Minnesota's defense is great. The Suns' offense is great. This isn't the 80s anymore. Better offenses beat better defenses now. It wasn't that way in the past, but it is now. A better offense will beat a better defense in the NBA. So it comes down to what happens if their shot's off. What happens if Durant's not shooting the ball well and Booker's not shooting the ball well? Well, then Minnesota can win those games. That's the games they're going to have to win. Because I can't see Minnesota winning a game that the Suns are shooting the ball well because they can't score with Phoenix.
Doesn't seem as if they can. No, their offense isn't. Anthony Edwards is terrific, and I'll play the soundbite for Michael Wilbon here in a minute about Anthony Edwards. And that's where the Bradley Beal acquisition, it was made for this moment. Not that it wasn't made for the regular season, but it was made more for this moment because what we saw last year was in the games in which Booker was struggling or Durant was struggling or both, the Suns just didn't have any kind of a counterpunch. Now they've got Bradley Beal. And if you're going to tell me that the odds of all three of those guys not hitting their shots, that just seems so unlikely, right? Like you would count on one of them at least going off, you would think, because right, they're all so good.
Right. And then if you have that, then what is the role? Does Grayson Allen go 6-for-7 from 3-point range to make up for because we've looked at some really weird games this year in which it was one not too long ago. I like, what if I would have told you that Booker and Durant wouldn't have scored, like, and they won, they didn't score. Sometimes if one of the guys is going off and the other two aren't, it does take a Herculean effort from a bench guy to kind of make up for that.
Yeah, Bright Side of the Sun also had some, I'll have to go back and look at the number exactly what it was, but when Grayson Allen shoots just 5 3-pointers a game, the Suns have a crazy winning percentage. I mean, because it just means that he's open.
When he shoots him or makes
when
him?
I think it's when he shoots him. Let me look it up. I
thought he shot 5 3-pointers every game. I thought it was in his contract. He automatically gets 5 a game.
Let's see. It was in the story about, where'd it go? Hold on. Here it is. He needs to shoot at least 5 threes a game. When he does, the Suns were 28-17. Just shooting five. Wow. 28-17.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and they even write, the challenge with Grayson Allen is that sometimes the role players for the Suns during the regular season tend to kind of shrink in the postseason. Torrey Craig, Campaign, Josh Okogie. The good news is that Grayson Allen is a career 41% 3-point shooter in the playoffs. So he's kind of had playoff experience. Yeah. I'm not worried about Grayson Allen at all. He might not have great nights every night, but I'm not worried about him suddenly shrinking because the postseason
30
starts.
Years from now, if you're in a pickup game and you see that guy hanging around, you grab him because at 55 or 60, he'll be crushing everybody. He can shoot.
Michael Wilbon today on NBA Today. Anthony Edwards is the star of this series, not Devin Booker and not Kevin Durant.
You know, when you're looking at the Suns involved in anything, you're looking at, I mean, Durant and Booker demand your attention.
Yeah.
Your eyes go to them. They're the brightest, shiniest objects on the floor. Oh, no, not in this series, okay? Because Anthony Edwards is that guy now. I'm not saying he's a better player than those guys yet, but is he on the way to that? Looks like it.
We'll see. If he's better than he's been against the Suns this year, the Suns are in for a real challenge this series. I still think Anthony Edwards is the hinge in this series. I really do. If he plays really well, the Suns are in for an absolute fight in this one. If the Suns have really truly figured out how to limit him through their team defense, the Suns will win this thing in 5 or 6.
It'll be terrible coaching if they're not able to figure out a way to get him going.
Amen.
Because that's the biggest difference in these series is that you've got time to prepare. You've got a week to prepare for them. I guarantee you they'll have some new defensive wrinkles that we haven't seen all year when they've played the Suns because they've had time to practice it and prepare for it. And now they know what the Suns have done successfully to stop Anthony Edwards, and they'll figure out some ways to free him up so he can get to the rim.
Did you officially go on the record Suns in 5 or Suns in 6?
Suns in 6.
Okay, I did too.
Suns in 6. Was what I went with.
Suns but you were thinking six. Suns in 5.
I was thinking they win, they split in Minnesota, win both in Phoenix, and then close them out because I don't know if the T-Wolves have the heart to... some of the most memorable moments of the Suns taken down. But Devin Booker loves to play against Karl Anthony Towns. And when D'Lo was like, he loves to play against him.
He loves to play against Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards is 1-11 against Devin Booker in his lifetime. That's a crazy number to me. Game 1 tomorrow, 12:30 here on Arizona Sports. When we come back on this bonus Burns and Gambo, tonight is the debut of Jordan Montgomery. How much of him are we going to see? Can he help some of the other stuff the Diamondbacks are struggling with? Probably not, but it'll still be good to see him anyway. We'll talk about it coming up here on Arizona Sports.
Arizona Sports, the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. We're checking in on the Diamondbacks as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, brought to you by Sonic. Drive to your nearest Sonic location for the Oreo Big Scoop Cheesecake Sundae for a limited time only at Sonic. And by 72 Sold. 72 Sold. Get a higher price for your home.
Diamondbacks on deck here on the Burns and Gambo Show. The D-backs in the Bay Area for game 2 of this 4-game series against the San Francisco Giants.
What's the key to the game now? I got a key to the game.
You got to sit on it, Potsy.
Yeah. Darn it.
We'll get to your key to the game soon enough. Just really. You're excited about it, though.
I am excited
about
it.
You're excited about it?
It's going to bring back some memories.
I want to know, is Scott Boras throwing out the ceremonial first pitch tonight?
Oh, man.
Because it's a matchup of Jordan Montgomery versus Blake Snell.
Oh, Snell has not been good for them.
No, he has not at all.
But 10 runs on 9 hits in 7 innings over his previous 2 outings.
Yeah, that's your pitching matchup for tonight's game. We'll talk about Jordan Montgomery in a second. But Blake Snell, 0-2 with a 12.86 ERA so far this year.
Yeah, he has not been good. It may take him a little bit of time, but listen, he was a talented pitcher. He won the Cy Young last year. This is a good pitcher's park, but he's off to a top start. You know, an interesting, are we doing a pitching matchup now?
Yeah, this is a pitching matchup.
All right.
But not the key to the game.
Not the key to the game.
I got a lot of notes about this. Okay, all right. Go ahead. Yeah, no, good. Yeah.
No, I think that, he's really struggled. And now you get Jordan Montgomery, who, was a big acquisition by the Diamondbacks. First start here at a couple in the minors, and now he's ready to go. And obviously, with the injuries that the Diamondbacks have had, with Eduardo Rodriguez being out, and now with Nelson being out, it's nice to get Montgomery in the rotation.
No doubt about it. For Blake Snell, his last time out against the Rays, 7 runs in 4 innings, not very good. And then for Montgomery, making his first start, this was the surprise. This was the Christmas present under the tree you weren't expecting to get, right? Like at the last minute, right before the season started, it's like, oh, the Diamondbacks are getting Jordan Montgomery? Cool, great.
Is that one of your parents left in the closet and they forgot to put it under the tree, and then 4 months later, they're like, hey!
By the way,
this slipped. We didn't even realize it. We didn't put this under the tree. It's April, and you're like, here's the present. This we forgot. We'd like, because all the presents were in the closet, and this one kind of got stuck in the loyal. Like, I just found it.
Yeah. The Arizona Diamondbacks, that's funny, lost last night to the Giants, 5-0. Ryan Nelson, and we'll get to the injury report in a minute. He had to leave that game after 2 innings because he got hit by a comebacker. Logan Allen, 4 2/3 innings of 1-run ball. He did a really, really nice job kind of on the fly trying to give them some innings. But the Diamondbacks only managed 3 hits. They were all singles. Logan Webb did an unbelievable job on the D-backs offense last night. At one point, he retired 19 in a row. More Diamondbacks mistakes defensively. Another error from Ketel Marte. Mm-hmm. Christian Walker was picked off first base, so another out on the bases.
Sloppy
yeah,
baseball.
It's not what we've come to expect from the Diamondbacks at all.
No, sloppy baseball. It's tough to watch because it's just not what we expect. I will say this on Blake Snell. His 1.11 ERA against the Diamondbacks is the lowest by any starter versus any given team in the major league since 2019.
Wow.
So he's had a lot of success against the Diamondbacks. So this might be his get right game for him. Maybe.
Are we still in the pitching matchup? I thought
I just wanted to give you a Blake Snell nugget right there.
That's fine. I knew you had a lot you wanted to get out in the pitching matchup.
I got my key to the game.
I thought you had got it all out.
Lauren's going to love my key to the game.
Is she really?
We'll see how quick she is on finding sound for the key to the game.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you give her maybe a heads up. Be respectful and maybe give her you texting her and let her know what she needs to find for this. While you're doing that, I'll tell everybody that the error by the Diamondbacks last night was their 16th error in 20 games so far. That's tied for the third worst in Major League Baseball, the 16 team errors. Their fielding percentage is tied for the fourth worst in Major League Baseball. The Diamondbacks are one of 6 Major League clubs to have 4 or more players with 2 or more fielding errors. Blaze Alexander, Eugenio Suarez, Ketel Marte, and Lourdes Gurriel Jr. all have at least 2 or more errors so far this season.
It's so hard. I was watching the game last night, and Marte makes that error, and it's like, ah, man, and Walker gets picked off on a 3-2 count. I get it. He's trying to get a little bit of a lead on a 3-2 count, and he just, Bob Melvin, I saw it. He called for it. You could see it. He called for the pickoff, and Webb picked him off. He just fell down to the ground and just tagged him out. It was terrible.
Yeah. Your injury report, it's brought to you by Wilderness Athlete. Accelerate your recovery with Hydrate and Recover from Wilderness Athlete at wildernessathlete.com. Diamondbacks did make a couple roster moves today, and one of them was injury related. Ryan Nelson was put on the 15-day injured list. Right elbow contusion. He was telling reporters after the game he got hit so hard by that comebacker, you could see the laces on his skin left a mark. Also designated for assignment infielder Jace Peterson, who had a really rough start to the season.
He's just not a very good baseball player. So a lot of people were calling for me to get the limo for him. It was time for him to go. They could do better than him. Pavin Smith will help them a lot more.
Jordan Montgomery was recalled from AAA Reno. Pavin Smith, outfielder, was recalled from AAA Reno as well.
Yeah, he's always been like insurance as the backup first baseman in case Christian Walker goes down. But they love his bat. They have always loved his bat and his ability to hit. And they could use a little offense right now.
Yeah, they could. And then, of course, still the injured players. You're still talking about Geraldo Perdomo and Alec Thomas and Eduardo Rodriguez, Paul Sewald. Though I would imagine Sewald's probably getting
close-ish, I would think.
I'll check on that. It's got to be very soon.
Yeah. All right, let's get you the roof report for tonight's game.
Roof Report on Arizona Sports 98.7 in the Arizona Sports app. Brought to you by Renco Roofing. Over and above for 20 years and counting.
Obviously no roof in San Francisco, but there is weather, and it's going to be a clear, crisp night in the Bay Area.
Temperature
around first pitch expected to be about 56 degrees, give or take. 54 degrees.
Nick got met with a big hit in that game last night, too. Got his sweet revenge. One of the keys to the game was Nick Ahmed getting sweet revenge. He got that.
Did he, though? Yeah, did he? Yeah. All right, since you're so eager to get to the key to the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you're chomping at the bit for it. Let's pay it off. Lauren, please, hit the thing. Let's find out.
Listen, man, I need you to be the key master.
I am the key master.
Arizona Sports, the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. D-backs keys to the game. Driven by Trucks Only, the Valley's number one independent dealer and home of the lifetime engine warranty.
All right, just look, Montgomery's not going to go deep in this game. And when he comes out, you're going to face some right-handed hitters. And one of the guys that has been great for the Giants might play a big role off the bench today. And he's my guy.
He's my boy, Jung-Toon Wook, and Kim Kang-ri, and King Sung Choi, and Kim Mong-yu. Those are my guys.
Yeah. Jung-Hoo Lee has been terrific. Had two more hits yesterday, hitting streaks at 10 games. He's hitting .359 on the season with two doubles, an RBI, the Korean Baseball League star. Jung-Hoo Lee. All right, he's not starting tonight. He's not starting tonight. But be wary of him off the bench. He was the KBO Rookie of the Year. He's the KBO League's MVP award winner. He's a five-time KBO League Golden Glove Award guy. You know how much we were into Korean baseball back during the pandemic.
4 years ago.
One of my guys.
4 years ago during the pandemic, yeah, when we were doing shows from Gambo's house, and the Korean baseball organization was the only thing to watch.
It's all we had.
And we loved it.
We
each adopted a team, and that was Gambo going through the roster.
My guys, Jung-Hoo Lee, he was one of my favorite players in the Korean baseball league.
For the life of me, I'm like, what is he scheming with Lauren?
Listen, he's got like a 10-game hitting streak. He's got a 10-game hitting streak. So if he comes off the bench tonight, watch out for him.
Steve Zinsmeister is next with D-backs on deck. We're out of here. We'll see you Monday straight up 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo
show. Have a great night, everyone.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.